And it is great to have you with us on the Big Sports Breakfast this Wednesday, the 29th of June. It's a new team this morning. Phil Moss joins us alongside myself and Jamie Rogers. Good to see you, Mossy.
Great to be here, Ryan. Jamie.
Good to hear you, I should say.
I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness.
We love having you on the show, Mossy. We can do plenty of football chat and just get your insights into so many different sporting arenas. So it's great to have you here.
As long as we have a laugh, I'll be happy.
Well, we've already had a laugh because you didn't know how to turn on your headset. So we had a great start in here. Nick had to come running in and turn you on. So
you're hearing everything okay, Mossy? We can hear Mossy okay. That's the main thing.
I am. I'm a bit worried about the last line from Jamie. Nick came in here and turned me on.
I know. Poor choice of words.
Has that ever happened, Nick? I don't. You know, I shouldn't be so cruel, should I? But good to see you, Mossy. And a morning where there is football, live football happening with the Matildas kicking off in about 22 minutes. It's going to be interesting after what we saw against Spain the other day, a 7-0 thrashing. So they'll want to bounce back in some way, shape or form. I don't think we'll beat Portugal with the side that looks like it's going to take the field, but we certainly want to see a better effort.
We certainly do. That was a disaster, really, on many levels. Not just the fact that we had a clutch of star players pull out just before this window, and whether that was part of the plan or whether it was sprung on Tony Gustafsson, I don't know. But if it wasn't part of the plan, why wasn't it part of the plan? And if it was part of the plan, why are we taking on Spain and Portugal? Because that does nothing. You know, Tony Gustafsson said we needed to get some answers to some questions. Spain and Portugal, Spain, you know, heading into this Euros, probably not the opposition you want to learn some questions about players who have never played at that level.
What did you make of Tony's comments where he said that he was surprised that we are all surprised that Matildas lost 7-0 to Spain, and basically were saying that there's no depth in women's football and we all should have been expecting to be thrashed by Spain. What did you make of those?
Look, I understand where Tony's coming from as far as making a statement that proves we need more depth in this country. But to say we haven't got the talent, I disagree with that. I think we haven't got the opportunity. There's not enough games for players to play, men or women. And that's something that I know the APL are looking at, and I think there'll be some announcements maybe even today on that front. But I don't think there was much surprise that we lost, that we got thumped by Spain. I think anyone who knows their football knows Spain are heading into a Euros, and we're not. And we've got a World Cup that we're hosting, and our best players were resting for this camp. So I don't think there was surprise over the result. I think there was more surprise over why would we take on the powerhouses of Spain and Portugal when we're severely understaffed.
So how would they lift for today? Because you come off the back of an absolute belting. What needs to have changed in order to not have a huge repeat of what we saw against Spain?
Well, I think social media, the media will have taken care of a lot of that, because you go into siege mentality and it sort of galvanises the Aussie spirit that we have, that we all are well known for around the world. I think we'll have done Tony Gustafsson a favour as long as he harnesses that with the players, because that is the Aussie spirit. When we're backs are to the wall, we come out fighting and punching and scratching, and I think that's the sort of performance we'll see this morning. But again, we've only got a couple of players who really are holding the fort for what the team will probably look like when the World Cup comes around.
Yeah, a lot of outs. Sam Kerr, Hayley Rasso, Caitlin Ford, Kaya Simon, Steph Kate Lee, Ellie Kerr, so six debutants as well. So that's it's a very inexperienced side. We'll see how they go. That kicks off at 6 a.m. this morning. Now, overnight, a pretty good result for the Aussies at Wimbledon. In saying that, though, there's an asterisk beside it, because Nick Kyrgios was at his petulant worst in winning his first round match at Wimbledon. He abused a line official. He copped a warning from an umpire.
He spat
blew up
at a
about
spectator.
The grass. Yeah, spat in
well,
the direction
spat towards
of
a spectator
in, I guess, frustration.
Calling an umpire a snitch. Like, is that, you know?
Well, he said because the linesman had basically gone running to the umpire to say that Nick had said something on the backcourt, and Nick denied that he actually said anything. But he's also come out and said the reason why he was, you know, spat towards that fan, which wasn't necessarily condoning what he did, but he's just said social media has destroyed the fan base. He said that people feel the need that you're a keyboard warrior and you can then bring that behavior as a fan and just hurl abuse at athletes. And he said that that's got to stop. He said he can understand you can have some sort of argy-bargy, but the abuse that he copped, he said, was just unacceptable.
Yeah, but other players aren't doing what Nick is doing. That's the thing.
I'm not condoning his spat towards a fan, but he did come out to say that this is – and he also has been very open about the mental health struggles that he has had. And he just said he's had a tough period. He's copped it a lot. And I guess they just pushed his buttons a little bit too much.
He was a hot favourite in that match, but he really struggled to win it. He won in five sets. Alex de Minaur had a bit of an easier time. He swept past his opponent, Hugo Delian of Bolivia. He now takes on Jack Draper of Great Britain. By the way, Nick Kyrgios will take on Filip Krajinovic in the second round. So they're both matches that they should win. A couple of withdrawals, which was interesting in the men's draw. Italy's Matteo Berrettini, who made the Wimbledon final last year, he's withdrawn with COVID, as has Marin Cilic. So what's interesting, de Minaur was actually on track to face Berrettini in the fourth round. So that maybe opens things up for de Minaur, should he go through a little bit deeper into the draw. Jordan Thompson, he won in straight sets over Roberto Buena Carbeas. Jason Kubler scored a big result in straight sets over local Dave Evans. Alex Popperin, he lost in five sets to Hugo Gaston. He was actually favourite in that match. Now, of the Aussies in the women's side, only Ayla Tomjanovic was a winner. She upset Swiss 18 seed Jill Teichmann, 6-2, 6-3. She's into the second round, but all the other Aussie women lost. Zoe Hives, Darius Saville, Jamie Fawless and Astra Sharma, they all lost. Tanasi Kokkinakis, he takes on Novak Djokovic tonight at 10:45. So what a match that's going to be for him. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of eyes on that. Roger Rashid will join us a little bit later, but I know he's already said that that's a battle that he's looking forward to, taking on the world's best.
But just such a great story for him. He's come back from he's had so many tough injuries throughout his career. So it's amazing just to watch him back playing in the big arena again. And that was his first match that he's won since 2017 from the main draw and at Wimbledon. And he's just said he's now just going to look forward to it, be excited, and just enjoy every moment he can now have and when he faces Novak.
Rugby league, it's interesting seeing the team lists that are out for this weekend following State of Origin, of course. We were worried about Payne Haas lining up for the Broncos, but he's been named in that side, and there's confidence that he will actually be fit to take on the Cowboys this weekend. He suffered a high ankle sprain in that game in State of Origin for New South Wales on Sunday night. Broncos also get Adam Reynolds back, so that will be a terrific Queensland derby. Luciano Leilua, by the way, will take his place in that Cowboys lineup. I see Luke Brooks, he's going to play in Brett Camorley's Tigers.
What do you
team.
Make of that? It's being labelled as soft, that there was all those rumours that he was going to be dropped, and now he has been named heading into this weekend.
Well, I guess it's the coach's way of saying, well, I'm going to give you every chance to return to some sort of form. Maybe, you know, Brett Camorley being a half as well, maybe he's providing some sort of inspiration to Luke Brooks, I don't know, or trying something new with him. But yeah, the clock's certainly ticking, because with Adam Dewey back, you know, it obviously made things look a little bit dicey there for Luke Brooks, didn't it? But Felice Kaufusi, now, he will not play for the Melbourne Storm. He's actually going to fly to Los Angeles to be with his father, who's been hospitalised there. So that Origin player will not line up. Cameron Munster, he's also in doubt with that shoulder injury that he suffered for the Melbourne Storm. Ryan Pappenhausen, he's been named on the reserve list, so that's interesting as well, ahead of Origin 3. Not that I'm suggesting that Ryan Pappenhausen will probably be called into that squad, but in that game, incidentally, Daly Cherry-Evans and Jake Trbojevic will line up for Manly. But it was interesting with all the talk out of State of Origin 2, with now the plethora of choices that Brad Fittler has at his disposal for the centre spot, with Latrell Mitchell returning this weekend. Jack Whiten is back from COVID. And then, of course, you have the incumbents there that played well in Origin 3. How it's all going to shape up. And it was interesting on 100% Footy, which is a Channel 9 program where Brad Fittler works, that Phil Gould and Paul Gallen both suggested that they're not going to change or they shouldn't change the New South Wales side for Game 3. And if anything, Jack Whiten would be the one to miss out, which I thought was interesting chat.
I was going to say, I wouldn't change it. I think there were seven changes for Origin 2, and boy, oh boy, did it work. And I think the Manly boy, Trbojevic, made a huge difference. So I said after Origin 1, I thought Nathan Cleary needed, and I wasn't the only one, by the way, I'm not professing to be an expert, but from a coaching perspective, I looked at that and went, Nathan Cleary needs more protection. I thought Trbojevic provided that platform for Cleary to have the game that he had the other night, along with others, but he was a high-profile change to the New South Wales Blues side. And what I liked about it, and I'm not suggesting Latrell Mitchell would upset this, but what I liked about the other night was that there were no Cleary had a superstar game, but he's not it's not all about him. I think they got the team dynamic right the other night. Why would you mess with that? I know Latrell Mitchell is a superstar player. I get that, but he's coming back from a period out. I just think they got the dynamic right.
Well, I'm with you, Mossy, and I'd love to get the thoughts from what our listeners think, but they were saying on 100% Footy that Jack Whiten was potentially not going to make the cut for Game 3, which would be incredible because he was so great in Game 1 and he was only out of Game 2 because he had COVID. But suggestions that you would bring Latrell Mitchell into the side, I think would be... I'm not a selector, thank goodness, but I just think when you have been out since April with something like a hamstring injury that has needed so much work, I don't think he's had enough time, one game in 10, to then have to go and play in the Origin Arena, I just think would be too much. And off the back of a winning side, I would be amazed if Latrell Mitchell was then selected and came in and expected to perform. He's a superstar, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he's not. I just think off the back of such a serious injury where you haven't played since April, even if this weekend he comes out and blitz it on his return, I would just be very surprised if he lined up in
Origin. What I will say to that, it's not as though he's coming back from a hamstring off a ticking clock, so to speak. Mm. He hasn't been able to play through COVID the last couple of weeks. So he's probably been fit enough with that hamstring to play for the better part of a month now. Yes, I absolutely know that fitness and fatigue is a much greater thing at State of Origin level. I just always think, and Mossy, you would know this as a coach, you got to think who the opposition would not want you to pick. And I reckon Queensland would say, well, we can deal with Stephen Crichton. We can deal with Jack Whiten. We have to coach ourselves to plan for a player like Latrell Mitchell. I just think he brings so much X factor, danger, second phase. I think Queensland would not want New South Wales to pick
Latrell Mitchell. Yeah, it's a good point you make, Ryan. It is, because there's the intimidation factor in the tunnel before you even run out, that might give you that 1%. And obviously they're up in Queensland, so it's a home game for them. Really interesting comments from Billy Slater the other night, that just because we're at home doesn't mean we're winning the game. You know, we've got to do the 1%ers. We've got to prepare right and execute the basics on the night. But you're right. It's a good point you make about Latrell Mitchell. But again, I had COVID around Christmas time. I know how long it took me to recover from that. I'm not an elite athlete. Probably wasn't when I played either. But that can have can be a real hangover to get back to peak performance for that. He plays this weekend.
Yep.
How he recovers from that, I think, will be key to whether he's even in the conversation next week.
And also, Mossy, the difference between, yeah, you're fit, but the difference between fitness and match fitness and actually going out there and having to play, and especially in the Origin Arena when we saw how fast it was in Game 2, surely that would play in as a factor as well.
Yeah, but these league players only have to play a few minutes these days, don't they, with interchange.
Well, as Berkey was saying, they go and have half time. They have a rest.
Now, I just want to say to a lot of our listeners as well, there's a number of you texting in that the Tab app is still not working, and we understand your frustration with that, and we do apologise. We are aware of the issue. We are still working on it, and it is just a Tab app problem. So what I could suggest to you, that obviously if you don't feel like you want to listen to it on the radio, you want to listen to it through, I guess, the better quality app or something similar, go to, on your web browser, skyracing.com.au, and there is a feature on there where you're able to listen to the same quality audio that you normally listen to on the app, and that way you will be able to listen to the program. So apologies for that, listeners. We are aware of it, and our techs are working on the issue, and hopefully we will get to it as soon as we can. This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Give us a call this morning as well, 1353 53 53, or SMS 0419767272. We'll be getting through those throughout the morning. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we'll have the newspaper headlines. Well, let's start with the Daily Telegraph, where Paul Kent writes a really interesting article that I reckon you'll be interested in, Mossy, as a former coach, where he says, clueless coach-killing clubs prove they refuse to learn from their mistakes, and that Cameron Serraldo and Christian Wolfe are proving too smart for struggling clubs who are clinging to the next man up philosophy. And it's interesting, isn't it, when you consider now the modern coach. And I guess, you know, a great point with this is Craig Fitzgibbon, who coaches the Cronulla Sharks, that he took his time in not just jumping to the next available job and more waiting for the right system and the right playing group. And it seems as though Christian Wolfe, who rejected the New Zealand Warriors, and now Cameron Serraldo, who rejected West Tigers, seem to be, I guess, playing a similar card.
Yeah, that's right, Ryan. And I think another great example at the other end of the spectrum is Trent Barrett, when he went to the Bulldogs and was set up for failure, really. Mm. And that looked that way before he even signed the contract, just from the outside looking in, and it proved to be correct. So it is a massive decision, especially for Cameron Serraldo, who's making his first leap. Christian Wolfe is the head coach at St Helens at the moment. So he's taken that leap into from being an assistant to a head coach. Serraldo hasn't yet at that level. Of course, we know he's been a head coach in reserve grade and so forth. But it's a massive decision, because if you don't feel like you've got the resources and the support and the systems and structures in place to set you up for success, then what next? You know, if you go into your first role and it's not successful, whether you've made your money or not, it's more about the longevity of your career as a coach and how do you set yourself up for that successful career. That first decision is absolutely critical.
And the pressure that you're walking into as well, Mossy. I mean, as an assistant coach, you don't face any bullets, do you? You really fly under the radar. But then when you take that head coaching role, there is pressure from the get-go, particularly with a club that's trying to go from the bottom up.
That's right, exactly. And if you look at the West Tigers, for example, his boss at Penrith was there, Ivan Cleary. And so, you know, he got a first-hand look at what's in place. Now, whether that's been improved since, you would like to think it has, but it's still not attractive enough for Serraldo to jump.
So this is on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Bondi Lodge, and this is written by Phil Rothfield. Roosters ready to swoop on, excuse me, prop. So the Sydney Roosters are on the verge of signing Matt Lodge for the remainder of the season for around $100,000 as a way to revive their premiership campaign. As we know, they're currently ninth on the ladder. But Lodge, he quit the Warriors back in May, and Phil Rothfield has said, look, this is going to add some much-needed boost to the struggling forward pack for the Roosters. Apparently some clubs have already been circling for Matt Lodge, but because he needs to be included within the salary cap of around $20,000 a game, other clubs can't fit them in, but the Roosters can because they lost Ronald Volkman and Freddie Lussick to the Warriors mid-season.
And that's another headline that feeds into the first one that Ryan was talking about, because when the owner of the Warriors went across to England to talk to Christian Wolfe about taking the Warriors' job, the first question he would have asked is, well, Matt Lodge, you've just paid Matt Lodge out $700,000 to go and do what he wants for the rest of this season. And that's on the salary cap for next season. So you've already eaten into my salary cap by $700K for next season. You know, that's not setting a coach up for success. So they're the sort of decisions that we're talking about. When the clubs make these decisions, it has a flow-on effect and can affect the attraction, I guess, for coaches to take the role.
And when you look at it, you sort of think, oh, gee, $100,000, that's not much for a first-grade football player. But then you think, well, he's got the $700,000 golden handshake and he's playing at the Roosters. It's a pretty good deal for Matt.
And living on the Northern Beaches.
And he'll be playing at the Roosters, and I reckon we probably would get probably the best out of him because he wants to prove himself to get an NRL contract for next year. Yeah, so he'd probably be a good signing.
Well, the national anthem has been played and the Matildas are about to kick off in that international friendly against Portugal. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the morning. Dick Fain is going to be coming up after 6 o'clock. He'll be updating us on all the American sports that are going on at the moment. Adam Pengelly will also join us just before 7 o'clock. Dean Bulldog Ritchie will talk all the ins and outs for round 16 in the NRL just after 7 o'clock. Stuart Clark will join us after 7.30. The Aussies take on Sri Lanka in the first of that test series this afternoon. It starts at 2.30, and we're hearing that there's been, I guess, a change with Mitch Swepson coming into the side, but we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Brad Davidson will talk racing. Damien Cook, Rabbitohs hooker, will join us fresh after State of Origin as well. Roger Rashid will join us to talk tennis. There's been plenty happening over there in Wimbledon. And Kay Scott, Australian boxer, will also join us. So it is a big, big sports breakfast this morning. We want you to be part of the show. 13 53 53, the SMS 0419 767 272. Phil Moss, Jamie Rogers and Ryan Phelan with you this morning.